This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Here we go. It's hour four of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. The election results are going to start streaming in, and we'll give you them as they become available. Did get an interesting text over the break there. Tolo's working at voting stations. Blanton Elementary in Carrollton, Dallas County. No lines, and they have voting going. Been here all day working the polls. That's Tolo Jacob from Carrollton. Salute to you.
And yeah, salute.
Thanks for Toloing while you're doing some civic duty there, managing the voting stations. Here's Eric Schiaffalo with an addition to the finest.
All right. Did you guys see DeAndre Hopkins with the ... tweet and the photo of Randy Moss in a Patriots uniform hugging Tom Brady?
No.
I guess that's how he feels right now with Mahomes. He feels like the Randy Moss to Brady's Mahomes there. So he's feeling good.
They just finished the deal. In the championship.
Oh, wow. That's true. That might be a bad omen.
He doesn't want to put out there. Like, I like it. You know, I get where he's going here, but that didn't end great in terms of championship success.
Wow. That's a good point. Should have been probably Mike Evans and Tom Brady.
Yeah, Mike.
You know,
86 yards, 29 yards in his two games so far, a couple of touchdowns. Is this a late career resurgence?
Oh, hell yeah. Absolutely. I mean, Juju Smith-Schuster was like, nobody wants a cast off. New England's like, screw this guy. He can't play anymore. Goes back to Kansas City, revitalizes his career. Fortunately, he's hurt now. Mecole Hardman can't play anywhere but Kansas City. It's just, it's one of those teams where it's like Nick Saban hiring old coaches. Hey, I'll resurrect your career. Yeah. I'll get you another head coaching job.
We got you.
Andy's a good dude to play for.
He is.
Yeah, I mean, if that's your play caller and quarterback, you're feeling pretty good about your situation. I love the headline after the game. DeAndre Hopkins explains his, quote, remember the Titan celebration wasn't a shot at his former team. Oh. As, of course, he did just get traded from the Titans. He did the We Are the Titans dance deal.
Oh, yeah.
And then the other coach's like, who do you think they are, the Beatles? It's a great line. So he did that, and everybody's like, wow, he's kind of taking shots at Tennessee there. But
He's doing bits, man.
He says it was a shout-out to Tennessee, not a disrespectful one.
Okay.
So I guess we got to take him at his word there. But
wish you could be here.
Maybe he'll make a...
Wish I could have brought all of you with me.
Yeah. Sorry, Titans fans.
Love you guys. Crying coach over there.
Everybody talking about the Chiefs being undefeated, but they're playing all these close games, and they're going to regress to the mean at some point. You can't continue to win these one-score games, can you?
Watch
Pat Mahomes, all-time highest win percentage in one-score games at the quarterback position. It's just what he does. Maybe it's a one-score game and it's 40-35, or maybe it's 20-17, but he's going to find a way to win the game however it needs to go down to win the game that day. Or that night. And so it's 69.6% win percentage in one score games. That's Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. And then who do you think would be second?
Brady?
Big Tom.
Yeah.
And then Peyton Manning.
Or they continue to play cowardly coaches. That's how you keep winning one score games.
That'll help.
I'm
so happy Stink said what he said about, you know, nobody's at the podium.
About the running backs?
Yeah.
Todd Bowles.
No, at the running back. You know what's funny? I asked him that question knowing damn good and well what his answer was going to be.
I was wondering, because like, he's the O-lineman. Special. Like, are you biased towards the line, or are you old school? And you're like, you got to have a bell cow. I wasn't sure where he was going to go.
You know, they
it's
had
the
guys,
line.
Like,
it's
Terrell, line, Terrell yeah. Davis and guys like that were like, that was a 6th-round pick. Mm. You know, I mean, he's played with some, I was just curious if he maybe looked at the game a different way. I knew damn good and well he was going to make your point.
Well, thank you for that.
No,
I do appreciate it.
No, I just, hey.
Way to set your teammate up.
But,
seriously.
But he has been a part of some of the great running games in NFL history. If you look at the time the Redskins, now the Commanders, and then with the Broncos and stuff like that. I mean, they knew how to run the ball. Really, both groups did. We're very good at it.
I'm glad you could be the bigger man here, Brian.
Trying.
Yeah.
Trying to get better.
When you teed up the question, I thought I was going to be Joe Few and he was going to be the Baylor guy.
No.
And I was just going to
I knew damn good and well baptized. He was going to make your point.
Well, that was really kind of you. Yeah. I did do just a little, just took a glance at where things
still
stand
doesn't
right
mean
now.
He's right, but
obviously,
I'm just saying.
No,
you know.
For sure.
Well, he acknowledged special. Some players are special.
Yeah.
Right, right. And you'll see that right
his,
now.
Like, his opinion stunk.
Right.
Yeah. No, I think that it kind of falls in line. Like, if you're going to take a running back in the first round, it needs to be a special runner.
Yeah, that's true.
We have the top 10 running backs right now, currently, as it pertains to success rate, the highest success rate in the league, just the top 10 guys. This is a pretty good metric to decide if the running back is any good. And I jotted down where they were drafted. And number one is Jahmyr Gibbs. Bravo to the Lions. They put a stacked team together. Absolutely first round pick. That dude's got the juice behind the best offensive line in the league. He's number one. He's a first rounder. Notch on your belt. Then you get to Kareem Hunt with the Chiefs.
Third?
He's third round.
Yeah.
Then you get to Chuba Hubbard of the Panthers, who Chris Berman last night called the Chuba missile crisis. And, I mean, during his fastest 2 minutes, it was brilliant. And, yeah, Chuba Hubbard's a fourth-round pick, but he's third best in the league right now success rate-wise. Tyler Algier of the Falcons, we just saw him stumbling, bumbling, rumbling, and he's a fifth-round pick.
Yeah.
He's fourth right now in success rate. Our guy Rico, fifth in the league in success rate. Wow. You wouldn't know it by watching Zeke get all the touches, but he was, of course, undrafted. Yeah. You have Bijan, he's a first-round pick. He's number six. You got James Cook of the Bills. He's seventh best in the league right now, success rate-wise. He was a second rounder. David Montgomery of the Lions. He's eighth. He was a third round pick. Derrick Henry, second round pick. And then the rookie Bucky Irving was just a fourth round pick. So on average right now, the top 10 running backs in success rate are picked in the third round of the draft. So just a.
I thought you were going to tell me the fourth round, but I thought you're going to have to draft early. Now.
It was 3.3 is what the average
get
came
the round
out to
up
there.
Then? Yeah.
I was trying to round up. I was hoping for a 3.5. I would have made it a four. Yeah.
Nah,
I
mean, man, you're good. You're good.
Four of the top 10 leading rushers were first rounders right now. This was interesting though, because I went back and looked, like, according to PFF, just basically like their top 10 position rankings. Which of these positions that you would take are first rounders? How many of the top 10 corners right now in the league do you think were first round selections? And this is just according to PFF, so the ranking is very subjective.
Totally.
Five. Again, five? Two. Hmm. Wide receivers? Two. Offensive tackles would be six.
Yeah, it's got to be big.
Edge rushers is seven.
Yeah.
So
need to stop the edge rushers.
If you want to
kind of get like a line of scrimmage player, maybe on the offensive line, maybe on the defensive line.
Guy that throws the ball, guy that rushes to get the guy on the ground, guy that blocks the guy from keeping the guy to get on the ground.
Yeah. Line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Line of scrimmage is a good place to hang out.
Yeah.
Especially when you got holes all over it.
When you used to be plug and play.
Used to be plug and play. We can't let Tyler Guyton and his nine games make it just they don't plug and play anymore.
Can I ask you guys a quick question? Because I had questions for you today.
Yes.
I had some questions. Can I ask you just one question? And you guys give me your answer if you don't mind real quick. What if I told you that Tyler Guyton allowed the fewest pressures in the Atlanta game than any of your other offensive linemen?
I would say he was holding the whole time.
I would say he was probably – that's a good rebuttal. I would say he still probably gave up a bunch, but everybody else was just that bad.
I mean, I guess I would believe you. I don't think Tyler Guyton was terrible.
Martin gave up seven in that game. Steele had six.
Gosh.
Smith had five. Beebe had five. Guyton had four. Guyton was one-on-one blocking 81% of the time in that game.
Maybe there's something there.
Maybe he's hanging tough.
Yeah,
plug and play.
Maybe plug and play's back.
It's back.
Back, baby.
Now, did he miss a considerable amount of snaps?
I think he missed three.
Only three. Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if that was
series. The neck. Yeah, it was just that opening series where they, fake punted.
Okay, so All right, well, that's good. Seriously, thank you. A little glass half full, Tyler Guyton. Maybe we're not totally dead in the water there.
Yeah, I was just kind of, and I was gonna, another one of my questions real quick was, Oso Digizua in this game, we're going to see him start getting going now, because he was doubled 55% of the pass rush snaps. He had 7 pressures.
Yeah, he was the one guy that jumped out as like he was around the feet of Kirk Cousins.
You think it's
going to
start now? Because he usually by week like 13
tapers off,
goes off the map.
Just starting late, and he's going to finish strong here.
You think with the money on the line?
I can hope.
Yeah, that's right. Contract year for sure. Okay. Not that it matters now. One of the few bright spots, no doubt, on Sunday. Now you have the clarification from the NFL, because we were wondering about Tom Brady criticizing the officials. Is he going to get popped for this? Because he's a minority owner now of the Raiders. And the NFL says the concern would only be if Tom was egregiously critical of officiating or called into question the integrity of an official or the crew. And that did not occur in this instance, because he was laboring.
They're giving him an out here.
He can have the opinion, I don't like that call. He could say, I don't think they should have ejected Brian Branch in this scenario, which is what happened. So he's allowed to say that, but I guess if he crosses the line, or if he questions the integrity of the official, then all of a sudden it becomes an issue. So I'm guessing this will be a non-issue, because he's not going to go out of his way to just tear up a referee, I wouldn't imagine, at any point. But Skip Bayless, I guess, has his own YouTube show now, and he's not liking what the Tom Brady broadcaster
returns. He's not a fan.
He's one to know.
He says, as a TV analyst, look at this comparison. This has to be rock bottom here. Never imagined that you would get a player comp for Brady and it would be Daniel Jones. That's where Skip went. Man, I mean, you want to talk about a below the belt punch.
He's the Daniel Jones of broadcasters?
As a TV analyst, he is nothing but Daniel Jones. And then he says he's sorry.
I think that's a good comp.
I think it's a disingenuous I'm sorry.
Kind of deer in headlights look.
I think he's getting a little better, huh?
He has some decent moments. He says, but Tom
I do
Brady,
miss. I think the guy, I think that the Olsen, tight end, this is so the best. I love Greg Olsen. I think Greg Olsen does a hell of a job.
Maybe in year 3 or 4, Brady gets there, but he needs to stop.
He says,
we need to be
Dawson there for a minute.
It's a one year deal. It's out of here.
Like something you would say. Like, he might get there, but he needs to stop.
Yeah. It just doesn't make sense how you can be. I mean, we're having stories like this.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, the NFL's not going to penalize him for being negative towards the officials. That's the job when you're calling an NFL game. You're going to disagree with some calls. It's going to happen.
And you got to be great at anything. You can't just be like, yeah, I guess I'll do that for $20 million a year. Like, Tony wanted to be amazing at it, and he was for a couple of years.
I think they have to be careful, the NFL. They're paying billions of dollars to broadcast those games. If that's who Fox picks to be the broadcasters, they have to play nice.
Agreed.
Absolutely. Yeah.
He says, Tom Brady drove me nuts yesterday during the Green Bay game with his endless, giddy, Captain Obvious blather. Just talks and talks and talks. Some more about what is so cliched, obvious, so Patriots Brady talking to the media, obvious, so eager to be the nice guy, Tom. That was the criticism there from Skip. But my goodness, being compared to Daniel Jones, life comes at you fast.
Yeah.
It really does,
Skip's
man.
Skip's trying to get a gig.
There's some bite in there from Tom. You know that he's got some intenseness in his personality. I think he's too busy trying to be what he thinks is an analyst instead of just being a straight shooter. Mm. You know, and we're going to do our best work when we're straight shooting and being genuine, like when Brian went off on you yesterday at about this time. You know, that was full sports passion.
Just want that same energy towards the corners and receivers from here on out. That's all I ask.
You got it.
Okay. Yeah,
just be fair.
No
problem. Just be fair here.
Starting to watch players on Thursday. We'll be at it. Yeah.
Speaking of receivers, Justin Jefferson, really in a league of his own. 32nd career game with 100 or more receiving yards. Most by any player in their first 5 seasons. He's really tracking to be one of the greatest of all time. Now, Jameis Winston, on the other hand, some funny stats with him. He has already thrown almost as many. He says Most dropped interceptions this season. It's Matthew Stafford with 6, and then it's Jameis Winston with 5, and he's only played in 2 games.
That'd be a Larry Fitzgerald stat moment here.
It was close. It was close.
I was like, oh gosh, oh gosh.
I was hanging on by a thread there, and then it popped up, and I was so thankful. So that one's tough, and Jameis Winston did throw his 100th career interception this weekend.
Oh.
So it was a milestone moment for him. How many games do you think it took?
80.
He had a year where he threw 20. 1 year.
Yo, 57.
It was 98 games. But
an interception a game almost.
Over. Yeah, over an interception per game. That's exactly right. What do you guys believe to be more difficult, winning 2 Super Bowls or throwing 2 touchdown passes in your home stadium? What would be more difficult?
I would think the Super Bowl.
It's not like this is a Daniel Jones
stat.
It's got to be Daniel Jones stat of the day.
Well, yeah. Because Sarah York pointed out on Twitter that the Chiefs won 2 Super Bowls between Daniel Jones's most recent 2 passing touchdowns at MetLife Stadium.
Yeah.
It was like almost 700 days, calendar days, since the last time Daniel Jones had thrown a touchdown pass in front of his home fans.
Yeah. Golden opportunity the Cowboys have had with this window being open. Commanders, Giants. I mean, it was really just one other team. It was only good about a third of the time. Couldn't do any better than they did.
No, they could not.
You know.
But I think the highlight of today's finest is Chris Berman bringing out the Chuba missile crisis yesterday.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That dude, I'm so glad he's still doing those halftime shows.
He's back in his bag, dude.
He is.
The fastest 3 minutes. A golden one. Thank you so much. Football's finest most afternoons. 5 o'clock here in the G-Bag Nation. Now, did Jane Slater confirm, Wolchuk? She did. Jane's going to join us next, give you the very latest on the Cowboys and her reporting of the Jonathan Mingo trade with you next.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Next in the nation. Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Time to talk with our old friend, 105 Through the Fan alumni, and a heck of a reporter there at the NFL Network, Jane Slater, joining you now here in the G-Bag Nation. The Expressway brought to you by the on-time experts. Segments brought to you by Window Nation. Go to windownation.com/cowboys. And it's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. This is the football hour, isn't it, Wolchuk? Chiafalo?
It heck sure yeah, it is.
Brought to you by the greatness of Buffalo Wild Wings.
Where B-Dubs is football.
As Jane joins us now here on The Fan. And a good afternoon, Jane. How the heck are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
We're doing great. You know, we're just kind of sorting through our prediction or our thoughts, our analysis of this trade. What's been the reaction in your circle to this acquisition of Jonathan Mingo for a 4th-round pick?
I was going to say, Gavin, guys, what's your prediction for how this one's going to play out?
I don't think good.
Well, I think it's you've got to manage your expectations, right? I think when Jerry said that we're still all in and that we are buying, not selling, there was a brief moment this morning in real time where he thought, okay, maybe he's going to finally go out and do something. Doesn't quite make sense given the fact that you're starting quarterbacks on IR, but okay. And then it was Jonathan Mingo. And this is no disrespect to this kid. I mean, he was picked in the second round. He was a 30 visit for the Dallas Cowboys. I think the issue for at least a number of GMs that I reached out to today, because look, guys, as much as I cover other teams, I'm 98% on the Cowboys, and sometimes you can be too close to it, right? So I was curious what other GMs thought. I was told, good kid. He had essentially not progressed in the offense in Carolina the way that they had wanted him to, and that was evident by the fact that, you know, there were so many guys ahead of him on the roster, even with the injury to Adam Thielen. But a number of the GMs that I spoke with said, not a fourth-round pick. I mean, the word that was used over and over when I talked to folks was too rich. And so I think that's where the frustration is for the fan base and for people looking at this from the outside. I mean, I understand that, you know, he's still on a rookie deal. He's got 2 years. He's young. There could be a maturation. And, you know, it's giving you depth and you're not having to pay a lot. But it was more of the fourth-round pick that I think stood out. A lot of people thought he was more of a sixth-round pick and then get a seventh-round pick back.
Do you feel like it's upside for the future, or could it help salvage this season? And how much hope do you think there is in there that they can get back in the race for the division or a playoff spot?
I don't think he's going to make a big impact on the season, and maybe that's unfair to him. I mean, if you look at Ole Miss, he looked like he was a pretty dynamic wide receiver. In the Panther situation, obviously he didn't have a quarterback. But as is explained to me, I was told by one GM, he's basically Jalen Tolbert. Like, that's where I would have ranked him in your offense. So you're going to get two Tolberts over here? To me, it's the same as the Trey Lance deal with the fourth round pick. Now, I did find it intriguing today, and I don't know, maybe I'm hearing this wrong. I don't know if you guys listened to this because I think it got lost in all the other stuff. But when Jerry talked about Cooper Rush, but also this idea of Trey Lance, and I found myself going, are they going to try and use both of them in the offense? Maybe I heard that wrong. But I thought that was sort of an interesting nugget from Jerry. But still, this is a fourth-round pick this year that, I mean, you really haven't done much with.
Do you think Mingo has a better shot at a successful career than Trey Lance?
I mean, it's always up to the player, right? I mean, I think a lot of us, and again, it's like comparing apples to oranges. When Amari Cooper was brought in, everyone sort of rolled their eyes. Mm. They didn't feel like he had done much with, at the time, I believe it was Oakland before they went to Las Vegas. And then he ended up, you know, helping turn around the season. So, I mean, anything's possible, I suppose. I guess the big knock on the guy is just his career numbers in the NFL the last 2 years, not exactly standing out. And quite frankly, you had an opportunity to be great and he just wasn't.
How much more Zeke should we expect to see on the field?
That is a fascinating story, Gavin. Look, without getting into too much, I think the three team meetings were a big deal. There was far more meetings than that, but the three team meetings, missing those, particularly on a week when, you know, it just come off a loss to the 49ers, I thought it was really interesting that, okay, he scored in San Francisco. Why wouldn't you want him in Atlanta? And it seems like they were trying to send a message that, you know, we sort of expect everyone to carry themselves a certain way and we need you, and he wasn't. And then to have Jerry push back and sort of dismiss it as if, oh, it's just a couple of blemishes. I wish I had those, you know, just a couple of late things. It's more than that. And so maybe Zeke learned from this. I can't imagine any of us would want it out there that we've been disciplined, and I can't imagine that Zeke wants to be away from football, but it does seem like the messaging, you know, at least from the coaching staff and then, you know, up the ladder with Jerry, seems to be a little off on this one.
Jane Slater here with you in the G-Bag Nation. Jane, did anything else come close to happening today, you think?
Not that I've heard of. And I think that's the other thing that is probably frustrating for a lot of folks. It's, you know, I know that they feel like they've addressed the running back situation by at least going out and getting you Dalvin Cook, and maybe we'll see, you know, more from Dalvin. I know that the issue, at least in the running back's room, has been an issue with pass pro. So, I mean, maybe they could have gotten someone that was a little stronger with that. You know, you definitely need help along the defensive line. Maybe offensive line some depth. But yeah, it wasn't my understanding that they were, and again, we might find this out later in the week, but based on some of the people that I talked to, they didn't seem like they were overly aggressive with anything else.
Jane Slater with us here on The Fan. Do you have any idea, Jane, like who spearheaded this thing? Was this a Jerry strong arm? Was this Will McClay and the scouts saying, hey, we got to do this? Any idea there?
I do not. So yeah, I'm sure, again, all of this stuff will come out at some point, as it does in Dallas. But to my knowledge, you know, I will say that like, again, this was a guy that was part of their 30 visit. So, you know, if you make the 30 list, you've got to at least have, you know, a vote of confidence from a couple of those guys. So, you know, I think if anything, there was probably, yeah, this guy looks like he could help us. Maybe people in the building, and again, I don't know. I can't imagine people in the building thought he was worthy of a fourth round, but maybe that was Jerry. I don't know.
Hey, Jane, I'm just going to ask you to maybe play a little bit of psychiatrist here. And what do you think the state of Mike McCarthy is right now, going through all this?
Look, I mean, even when I talk to other coaches, you might be shocked how many people send me text messages, you know, from other teams. I mean, they're watching the national shows as much as fans are, as much as we are. And they're constantly asking me, like, what are they doing over there? And I think that's the hard part for any coach that comes here, whether sure. it's Mike or anybody, is it is so different here than it is anywhere else. And I have that perspective because I cover other teams.
Right.
I think Mike's probably doing the best he can do at this point, given, you know, you didn't exactly bring him, you know, from what a lot of us on the outside could see is necessarily players that could make a really big impact for you. And while I appreciate them paying CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott, we've talked about all of this stuff ad nauseum, sort of the delays in doing that, how that, you know, essentially affected your cap, sort of the team morale of some of it. And then I've got to imagine for a lot of, not just Mike, but the rest of his coaching staff, you know, you're on 1 year deals and right. this is the roster you've got to roll out there. And then you're looking at the division and you're seeing the way the Commanders are playing and the Eagles are seemingly figuring things out. So without having, you know, insight from Mike specifically, I mean, Mike hasn't told me anything personally. Mm-hmm. I just think human to human, that'd be hard for anybody.
Yeah.
Has it been different at all in your perspective, the way that the people are viewing the Cowboys situation this year versus some of the criticism they've gotten in years past, where it does seem like now it's kind of the finger pointing is at Jerry in the front office versus maybe the play on the field?
Well, I don't think it helped that, again, the buzzword that Jerry used was all in, or necessarily the, you know, the piece that he did with Clarence Hill touting what a great GM he is. You know, it's like, I think you put a target on your back when you say those things, good or bad, right? And so, as one person said to me today, another GM from another team, that's the Cowboys. And so, you know, I think there's a little bit of just eye rolling, but laugh sometimes when it comes to the Cowboys when I talk to other teams. But with that being said, guys, there are so many players and coaches that tell me they'd love to be in Dallas. Sure. You know, they want to join the circus. And so it's sort of that catch 22. It's just, this is just how the Cowboys are. And I think that's how a lot of us that cover the Cowboys have gotten too.
Jane, final question. You know how long Dak's going to be out, and do you think they can beat the Eagles without him?
You know, we've seen this before though, right? I mean, when Cooper Rush has come in there and the team's had to galvanize around him, mm-hmm. it is interesting to me the way that those guys step up. Now, we haven't seen Cooper Rush do that longer than, what, 5 games? So how sustainable is that for the season? And, you know, I certainly hope that we never have some sort of controversy that we're talking about, because that would just be you know, a whole nother thing. But I do think that these guys, sometimes when their backs feel like they're up against the wall, they find a way to respond. But I felt like their backs were up against the wall against the 49ers when it was a 49ers team that was pretty injured, and you're coming back from the bye week, when you then went on the road to play the Falcons. And the Falcons, a lot of people thought that some of their wins were anomalies or it was a bit of an outlier. You know, so I don't know. What I do know is when I look around the league and I see, you know, like a positionless offense like the Falcons, and how excited the guys are when they talk about that offense, or New Orleans with Clint Kubiak before the wheels came off the bus, the excitement around the offense. I don't feel that around this offense. And I don't know if that's, you know, if that means pointing a finger at Shoddy or Mike, or if that's pointing a finger at the players. I honestly don't know where that lies. I just know that it's different when I go other places.
Fantastic reporting once again, Jane. Appreciate your perspective, and we'll catch up with you soon.
No problem. Bye, guys.
Bye. Wow. That was, you know, really profound, I felt like, at the end. She's going around and seeing things and seeing excitement, and is not seeing with these Cowboys what she sees elsewhere. Jerry said yesterday he could make a trade that would make fans forget about Election Day, and for at least a few hours he did that. As, you know, the fan reaction has been very loud on the text here. On an election day, the results are starting to stream in here. Brian, our election day insider, has been filing reports throughout the show. If he sees anything of note, he's going to jump right in there for you. One of South Carolina's most famous residents was blocked from voting at his local polling station today. You see this? Clemson head coach Dabo Swinney. Went to vote and was told that the William Swinney listed on the voter rolls had already voted last week. Swinney says the name on the list was actually his oldest son, Will, but he was locked out of the voting system and had to complete a paper ballot instead. So he still did
get it done. Got it done, yeah.
I wonder who he voted for.
Yeah, right? Yeah, him and Gundy. Big mysteries.
Oh,
we got to get to Gundy, right?
Let's get to Gundy.
Oh, Mike. Wow.
Looking forward to that coming up at the 6 o'clock hour. We got a TD Tuesday, of course, coming up, and we'll have a college football segment for you there coming up in less than an hour now, about 45 minutes away. We have been on the lookout for Derek Lively news, MRI for a shoulder injury, and obviously hoping for the best, not out long, but also, you know, I think he's got to get busy with his strength and conditioning and flexibility here. This is too many injuries early in his career, if you ask me. I think the comparison to Tyson Chandler might be apropos with that one.
Oh, my gosh. But a better offensive player than Tyson.
Yeah, I mean, but just the banged up factor.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was a what a fluky, unfortunate, huge bummer. Like, gosh, dang it. What are we doing? We got back-to-back sprained shoulders. We got CeeDee Lamb with a sprained shoulder. And that's now Derek Lively is a little contagious here.
And, hopefully, you know,
it's not serious.
Mavs not off to a great start. I feel like they have more than enough to win in the regular season and secure a top four seed, even without Derek Lively. I think that much of this roster. But with another loss yesterday, 4-3 on the season, and defensive ability has to start coming into question here. Their offense, no doubt, unbelievable. I mean, what Luka, Kyrie, Marshall combined for last night was insane. And then Clay had 16 and Dinwiddie had 14 on top of that. But I think the question has to be at this point, would you be concerned if they stay in like the 6-10 range around the All-Star break? Or will you trust that this team has a postseason formula and will finish strong?
I think the track record of Jason Kidd being able to figure out the defensive stuff as the season goes on and starting seasons as being like not just a not good defensive team, a bad defensive team. And then when it starts to matter, all of a sudden now you're a plus defensive team and you're like top 10. So we've seen the turn. I'm willing to be patient, of course, without in a split second notice. Here goes Derek Lively. What a huge presence he is defensively. And then right before the game, he's out. So still too early for me to panic for sure. But it does show some of the questions we had about Kyrie, Luka, Clay, all on the floor together. You were hoping the offense was going to outweigh the defense. I think more often than not, it will, but you got to have all your horses. You're not winning without Derek Lively.
Yeah, you got to have Lively to be able to kind of pick up the pieces.
Clean up.
When guys maybe become, I might say disinterested in defense or anything like that, but you know, when blow-bys happen.
Yeah, yeah, the paint points were ridiculous for the Pacers last night. And the offensive rebounds and stuff, too. All that, man.
Well, and P.J. Washington's been ruled out tomorrow against the Bulls with a right knee sprain. So the fact that they haven't given us any information on Lively, that is interesting to me. Maybe that's a positive, but maybe it also could end up being something that there will be a substantial period of time here. That'd be a huge loss. When they didn't have Lively last year, it was a crusher for them.
Nuggets off to a 4-3 start as well, and they are going to be without Aaron Gordon multiple weeks because of a right calf strain. So it's tough. Signed a huge deal in the offseason. 15-7 plus 3 assists. Really, really good. And I'd say like a star role player. Stars getting a break, a few more days off after returning from Finland. They'll host Chicago on Thursday.
That was a rough 2 days there in Finland.
It was. Whoa. And Finlandia was not good to them.
No.
Za'Darius Smith is headed to Detroit from the Cleveland Browns. The Packers, I believe, traded Preston Smith
to the Steelers.
Steelers were busy today getting Mike Williams as well. And Lightning killed a 34-year-old soccer player, injured 4 others during a football match in the Peruvian Andes.
Did you see that?
I did not see a video of it.
There's actually a video of unfortunately, the poor guy getting hit with lightning.
Like, and all 4 of them got hit at the same time and laid down. You didn't see any lightning. You just seen
and then
they went laid down.
And then a second bolt hit players as they began leaving the field. Terrifying.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's scary, dog. Dude,
they all just immediately freeze and fall down. Yeah. There's like 6 dudes all over the field scattered immediately. Mm-hmm. They all just hit the deck.
At the same time.
Yes.
Yeah, I was thinking about that when I was walking the dogs last night.
Yeah.
I was like, damn.
That's scary.
Oh my,
I got these metal chains on.
Right? Yeah, I was walking by the basketball goal. You know, I'm thinking like, hey, man. I mean, I know a lot of people had that on their mind yesterday. Lightning has struck several times. Wow. I just saw the video as well. Yeah. At Peruvian matches, but never before has it been lethal.
Jeez.
Okay, it's time now to go to the Pimp Cup where Lucius has LA Live.
And it doesn't start. Yeah, I appreciate it. This guy died because of lightning. Let's go to Lucius for an update.
Dude, it was like a sniper lined all 4 of them up and just got them in a line.
They all fall the same way.
Just wild, dude. Oh, my gosh, that's so scary. All right, let's get into a Toxic Tuesday, an Election Tuesday right after the Great Rick James.
All right, you squares.
It's time you smoke.
They say lighter doesn't strike twice.
Fire up this
sure
funk.
I'll be damned.
It'll make you dance some of everything.
Oh.
Everybody get hot.
Vote for me, because I'm not 95 years old, and I still remember where I parked my truck a few hours ago. Because I'm running for Vote for me, and I'll make it a law that if you talk on the internet, you have to fist fight in real life. Because I'm running for Vote for me, and I'll make everybody that's in the Senate and Congress work in fast food for the next 8 years. Because I'm running for Vote for me, and if we got a problem with another country, I'll catch a fair one with their leader, and it'll be done with. No more wars.
No more wars.
Because I'm running for This message is approved by Captain Isosceles. Bitch.
And what they say, stay in line. Stay in line. If you're in line, stay in line. Now I'm looking at the Dallas situation. Look like there's no lines.
No.
It looks like everybody voted early this season. This is LA Live for Tuesday, November 5th, 2024. It is a Toxic Tuesday, an Election Tuesday here in LA Live, which has been hella toxic. You've been following it the whole time. Extraordinary times here, people. Extraordinary times. I'm telling you, we are living in a certain time. Think about it. 1886, 1963, 2024. Same thing. I'm glad the campaigning will be over with from here on out, though.
Yes.
We got maybe 2 years of relaxing on the campaigning part.
Yeah.
You know, there's always going to be tension and toxic, but the campaigning part is good because the election season has wreaked havoc in my little community.
Oh.
My little gated community.
Not hanging out like you used to.
It, Not right now.
Signs everywhere. A lot of signs.
They're kicking down signs. They're taking signs. There's guys. They're blaming the people that's rolling around in golf carts with their flags. These people are old. I'm one of the youngest folks there. You know what I mean? Like, these people are old, bro. Yeah. I live in an old community. These old folks are fighting on Facebook with each other. They have, like, the little community thing.
Yes.
Yeah, you can snitch on something. Yeah. All they're doing is fighting with each other.
I love it.
Mad at the HOA, trying to push them out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my neighborhood, somebody took a bunch of signs and put it like on the official neighborhood entry. There was a big kerfuffle about that. It can only be on private property.
See? Yeah. Well, it's 2 inches from the ground here, so technically you can't have this sign. Yeah, whatever, man. It's been hella crazy. You guys have any hella crazy situations in your neighborhood?
No, I did see, Lucius, what you're talking about. There was a building that had a sign for one of the candidates, and then the business below made a sign pointing up and saying, we don't like this sign above them. We did not post this sign. Funny. So, like, sign on sign crime is what we got going on.
Sign on sign crime. That's been crazy.
Yeah.
Wild-ass times. Is anyone in here planning to go to an election party or are you throwing an election party?
No.
Just going to watch with the fam.
Philadelphia Eagle tape and keep it on, though. Keep on the elections.
Okay. My first job in radio, K-Van, 1550 a.m. in Southwest Washington. Covered election.
Let's just focus on the fact that it's K-Van in Washington.
K-Van. Vancouver, a.k.a. The Coove.
The Coove.
I'm just thinking of how the weirdos are out there. I say that respectfully. They love their vans.
That was W's big win. But I was cruising around Southwest Washington to all the different parties of the local elected officials, and they were either celebrating or giving a concession speech. It was really interesting.
That
was
the food. Pretty cool. Yeah.
Good food.
It was good. Good appetizers.
Hors d'oeuvres. Good appetizers.
That is a pretty cool moment. Yeah, I went to one before. It didn't turn out well. It was 2016.
Stand around, make small talk.
Yeah, some people didn't know they were in mixed company. I realized the whole time. Some people didn't know. And when they found out, boy, it was chaos, as my cousin would say. Instead of chaos, chaos.
Wait, some of you guys are happy?
Yeah, what's going on here?
I do think, you got to have everybody probably on the same team there. You got to be all rooting for the same squad.
It got kind of weird, bro.
Go bad.
It got kind of. I think SNL made a skit, and I feel like it fit my whole life about that. G-Back of the Day, we do it every weekday on the Fan at 2:30. If you see anything floating out there, don't be afraid to hit me up at Lucky Lucius P on social media, Lucius Alexander on Facebook, or you could follow us all if you find G-Back Nation on Twitter. Our winner right here is kind of old. I wasn't expecting it to win. It's kind of like a filler I played earlier, just to make sure we have enough audio for that time. Super middleweight boxer Caleb Plan was asked to describe his opponent, Trevor McCombie. Now, he beat Trevor McCombie up in September. I'm talking about washed him. It's a pretty good clinic of how to kick somebody's behind in boxing if you could watch that highlight. But here he is. Three words to describe your opponent, sir.
There's been some animosity between you and Trevor. If you had to describe Trevor as a fighter in three words, what would you say?
Not experienced enough.
What about the other two words?
Not experienced enough.
Okay, then.
All right.
No, we're not going to get anywhere here.
Maybe a broadcasting career is not waiting for this one.
Oopsies.
Three. Oh, man. Hey.
Experienced enough.
Yeah. All right, let's see. LA Live 105.3 The Fan on a toxic election Tuesday. Lots of wild things happened this election season at the polls. We had hundreds of ballots destroyed in Vancouver, Washington.
What?
When a man set the drop boxes on fire. Remember, he got arrested.
Got arrested.
Oh, yeah. He got arrested. He said it wasn't political. I just wanted to get arrested.
Yeah.
I call Cap.
Yeah.
Big Cap.
What's up? I just like burning stuff.
He got arrested pretty quick, though. Five Georgia polling stations have been evacuated earlier today. Union City, Fulton County, a lot in Fulton County due to bomb threats.
Bomb threats.
That's what I call a real battleground.
They proved during the Olympics let a bomb go off. Yeah.
Come on. Okay.
Gee. Okay.
All right. Oh my God.
Well, it did. 96.
Yeah. Happened. We know.
Hold on, man. I gotta get my nail. Hold on.
I thought you'd be wearing your Braves hat today.
Yeah,
Lucius. Maybe your Phillies.
I didn't even think about it. I got my Rosa on though. I'm walking my Rosa Parks shirt for sure. I gotta get my sage out for Broadus. I gotta get my sage out, bro. There was an 18-year-old Florida man arrested for brandishing a massive machete.
Yeah.
And antagonizing voters at a Florida polling site.
What?
Where do you get a machete?
A massive one as well. Like, he found a thick one. It's like a. This is like a double. I do like the dual blade ones. You know, where it's like a hand grip in the middle.
Jeez.
You kind of got the double.
Yeah.
It's kind of like It's the double just sided. A little bit more dominant looking.
Damn Ninja Turtle boy.
Yeah. Yeah. Something like that. But a massive. What makes a machete massive?
Yeah.
You know, like, what's the length that qualifies?
From a machete to a massive machete.
Right.
I would like to know.
It's basically a sword, right?
I was going to say, why don't you just go full medieval sword with it?
You can't get one at True Value, I guess.
That's true.
Yeah. He was out there intimidating the old ladies in line.
Wow.
Showing his little knife and yelling and fussing at him and whatnot.
Authorities came up to him and said, give me the knife.
Give me the knife.
Give me the massive machete.
Give me the knife.
Put that massive machete down now.
Oh my gosh, Dawson. This is not funny stuff. South Carolina fight. I mean, a fight broke out in South Carolina between a voter and a poll workers.
Oh no.
Over a Let's Go Brandon hat.
Oh. Oh, I think.
By the way, I do like knives. I just want to say that. I do like knives. Knives are real fun.
The steaks are really good.
Yeah. Well, not those kind of knives. The kinds that you can fold, press a button, and come out.
Yeah.
I like those, bro.
Switchblades?
Yeah, my brother has a sweet switchblade. I was hoping he left it at my house the other day, but he grabbed it on his way out.
I think I have one for you.
I was like, ooh.
Yeah, I got a pretty good switchblade in my truck.
Oh, I love
it. Yeah, you can have it.
I like
it makes me nervous.
I love them.
I'm like, brought us with a gun with it. I'm like, man, I'm going to shoot myself.
You can have my massive machete, Lucius.
Yeah, massive machete. The National Guard was on standby, apparently, in swing states.
Good.
Yeah. There, Mr. Broadus, voter updater guy.
Yeah, it looks like, like I said, I didn't see any stories, but there's like in Philadelphia, they were talking about, like, you mess around there. F around and you're going to find out what's going down there.
The Philly DA talking big.
Yeah, they're talking big.
You creep crumb bum.
Yeah.
The bums. They'll cram cheesesteaks up your cram hole.
Oh, my God.
So I want people to be reassured that when they get up tomorrow to go vote, if they have not voted already, that everybody in the city is working and has been working for months to make sure that there will be nothing tough about that experience and nothing to fear in that experience. But I also want to be clear, anybody who thinks it's time to play militia, F around and find out.
Yeah.
I'm not playing militia.
Anybody who thinks it's time to insult, to deride, to mistreat, to threaten people, F around and find out.
Yeah.
Let them know.
Yeah, you say it's going to send you to jail. We've got plenty of police.
Here's your National Guard, yeah.
We got places to send you. You want to mess around with us. It's still RIP to Quincy Jones. Hey.
He produced this one?
Absolutely. We have an Ohio sheriff. He was a sheriff's patrol commander. This man has some clout. He jumped on Facebook and said he would not help any Democrats and would require you to show some proof of who you voted for before providing aid.
Jeez, what are we doing?
He got a lot of backlash for that. He apologized. He says it was sleeping pills.
Oh, yeah.
The damn sleeping pills again, bro.
Boy, that Ambien will get you cancer. Just fight it for a little bit.
Fall asleep and just racism jumps out. It's crazy.
Fight it.
There was a whole lot of nails and screws on the ground near a drop box in D.C. They think somebody threw some nails and screws down.
Okay.
Purposely. I don't know if it's purpose. Maybe people are high alert. I see that all the time. All the construction going on in my neighborhood.
Is that like their version of like the Mario Kart banana that they're hoping people are going to like spin on?
Out of all the election interference that's happened over the centuries in this nation, we're worried about nails now.
I love it.
I've got it. They'll never see this one coming.
Kevin McAllister.
Yeah. What are we doing?
Kevin!
Their tires will get a slow flat when they get home. Got them now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
A Michigan man was arrested near the Capitol. That's the nation's capital. With a torch. And a flare gun. They got him.
A few months early.
These weren't massive.
Like a torch. Like a.
They got him.
He's just waiting for like January 6th.
Speaking of January 6th. Oh, look at you, Broadus.
We synced up like two girls who live in the same crib.
Yeah.
Big Steve Bannon is out of jail.
Oh, he is.
Yep. Yeah, he is. Just in time for election day.
Yeah, he is.
He only did 4 months, by the way. 4 months.
Hair still looks good.
He's, boy, he be looking a mess. Yeah. He be looking a mess with them t-shirts. Yeah. How many damn t-shirts he had?
He got a lot of them.
Hair still looks good.
He was arrested for two counts of contempt of Congress involving the January 6th attacks on the Capitol.
Yeah.
Bannon was the chief executive of Donald Trump's 2016 presidential campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I just want to tell you who he was, because when he got out of jail, he got trolled by this guy.
Steve, Robbie Roadsteamer here. I'm wondering, when's the next insurrection, and can we storm the Burger King after this? Like, can we do that? I mean, doesn't he look great now? We were in Danbury the first month together. He looks great. You don't remember me? We were lifting weights and stuff in the weight room. When's the next insurrection? How are we going to do this and stuff, man? You know what? If I'm leaving, I'm having a good time. He looks like Yoda with AIDS right now. Robbie Rhodes, Steven, no political violence, people. This place smells like mothballs. Wow, over here, where's the elevator? I'm not even going to get, like, hors d'oeuvres or something.
Hors d'oeuvres or something.
Sure.
That's great.
Pretty good troll.
Yeah, it's pretty good troll. Bannon was smiling the whole time. He thought it was funny too, by the way.
Yeah.
He did think it was funny. He did.
I just can't believe they set him up like that, you know?
Yeah, they set him up.
Who looks more disheveled in it? Him or Jack Nicholson these days?
Why? Why does he look so bad, bro?
It's always Jack, though, man. Even the inmates in there didn't want to touch him.
Isn't he like a billionaire or something like that? Does he have a whole lot of money? You got enough money to get some pomade for that hair?
Ooh,
damn cold.
I think it fell apart
for him.
Looks
like he's related to Francesa.
Put you some Murray's grease on that damn thing, boy. And lay it down.
I think this is actually optimized. Actually, this is as good as it gets.
You think so?
He's looks maxing.
Yeah, he's doing it all.
Oh, man. All right, this might scare people right here, because this is the one and only Alex Jones. Huh. Now, by the way, Alex Jones...
We'll
did have to pay. I will eat your ass. He did have to pay like $1 billion because he got caught doing too much with the lies.
Yeah, I did.
Spinning the stories too much, hurting people's feelings. But he has a prediction for this here particular political season. Here we go.
I want to make a prediction right now. Trump is set.
I feel like I want to stop him.
Yeah, yeah.
Right now. Right now. I'm going right now, man. I do it.
I want to make a prediction right now. Trump is set to have a historic victory. They're going to try to contest it. They're going to try to kill him again. They're going to create pretexts and excuses for the left to riot. It's going to be absolutely insane for the next 76 days after he is president-elect. But the fraud is not going to work.
Your boy Alex Jones representing Alex. Austin, Texas. Stand up. Yep. InfoWars. InfoWars.com. InfoWars.com.
Dang, it was a bomb in Vancouver. Fisher's Landing. That's my neighborhood, 164th.
No way.
The road I've probably been on the most in my absolute life.
Really?
Yeah. Used to take that down to the thriftway I got fired from.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's like saying Corn Valley or 303 to me. Like, mm-hmm. I know that road. Man, it was a bomb when?
Today?
Today?
Yeah, 490 ballots were destroyed.
Jeez.
Yeah, that's terrible. That's a bomb, right? That's out of the 360 as well, which is Southwest Washington area code. That's our Vancouver Tolo.
Well, hey, y'all be easy tonight. Don't get too wine drunk and start spouting off your political opinions.
Yeah.
Let people have their opinions tonight. You feel me? The process will do what it has to do.
Yeah, just log out of your X right now on your phone.
Just log out of it, please. Yeah, that's some good advice. All right, I'll be black tomorrow. Lord willing, the creek don't rise. My name is Lucius Alexander, and that's my time.
There he goes, LA Live, every night, 5:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. We got four down, one to go. More poll results are coming in. We'll give you any updates that we believe are pertinent as we keep the sports party train rolling. PJ Washington sprained knee out tomorrow night as the Mavs will host the Bulls. So we're getting a little bit of a walking wounded theme going on here as we segue now to an audio celebration of the football weekend that was. Boys, little TD Tuesday, shock-a-lock coming up next.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.